Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Titus chapter number 2. The book of Titus chapter number 2 tonight. We're going to read this whole chapter here, and then we're going to deal specifically with one verse out of this chapter, and then we'll go through that, and then we'll have you go home after that's all said and done. Let's begin reading verse number 1 of chapter number 2. It says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged man be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, and charity, and patience, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again. Not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, again, we are thankful for this evening that you've given us. God, I pray that you just use me again to be a voice to your people. God, I pray that you just watch over us. Lord, it is encouraging to see your house full tonight. I thank you so much for that. But Lord, we still have some folks that are missing. We know there are some who are sick. We know some are away because of distance. We know some are away because their eyesight's not good at night. And God, I pray that you just, first of all, heal the sick, give them strength to their bodies so that they come back and worship with us again. And Lord, I pray for the ones who aren't able to be here because of other reasons. God, I pray that you just have your hand upon them. And we ask you these things in your name. Amen. The book of Titus really is an order for the direction of the church. I told you Sunday night, I was actually trying to encourage you folks to be here tonight because I was wanting to give you basically a charge for this upcoming year. And I'm not talking about me charging you money. That's not what I'm getting at. I'm talking about going into the new year with a different perspective than what you had this previous year. Every single year, when the year ends, everybody begins to contemplate their lives. What did they accomplish this past year? Everybody has done those things, and some of us, we become kind of sad about what we didn't accomplish. Some of us kind of get overwhelmed of, wow, I can't believe I did those things. And it's just a time of reflection when we do those things. Usually what happens is, at this time of the year, people begin to make a New Year's resolution. And usually, January 2nd, January 3rd, you're going to see a big increase in the gyms. That's where a lot of the New Year's resolutions begin. And I'm normally there at that time, and I just kind of laugh and have a smile on my face. I was like, yeah, it's good to see the gym full, but it'll back off in a couple of weeks, and it normally does. Because people don't usually stick to their New Year's resolutions. Life gets in the way. And reality sets in, and like, man, I really can't keep up the schedule that I was kind of thinking about. But the point is, they make a New Year's resolution. I believe, too, we as believers should make a New Year's resolution on how we should approach this coming year. Now, again, I don't go to your homes, and I don't know what you do. I don't know your study habits. I don't know how you worship God at home. But I do know this. We all have areas in our life that needs to be improved. We all can improve in a good prayer life. We can all attempt to make that better. Whether it's here in a church corporately or whether it's at home with your spouse and with your kids, we can do those things. I believe we can all improve in areas of reading our Bible. I really do. Some have a goal already in mind where they'll read 10, 15 chapters a day. And some will just read a few chapters a day. That's great. And those are things that we should acquire. But I believe there are some other areas in our lives that we need to do to make ourselves better as we go throughout this year. We are pretty lucky that God is, and I know 2022 is not here just yet, and we're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're guaranteed today when we wake up. But we're not guaranteed tomorrow. I understand those things. But I think we all should try to make an improvement in our walk with God in 2022. And I believe so with all my heart for this reason. This reason alone. I truly believe God is coming back sooner than what we realize. Sooner than what we realize. And I believe one of the reasons we might not make that type of commitment to God and making a New Year's resolution is for this reason. We might not truly believe God's coming back. Because if we truly believe God is coming back, I believe our house would be in order. That's what Scripture calls. It calls for us to get our house in order. And I'm not here to say, condemn anybody. That's not my goal. I'm saying we are all included in this area in our life. And so I would hope tonight that I can bring just three things to your attention tonight that hopefully we all can try to improve our lives in this coming year. And we ought to do it because we ought to believe without a shadow of a doubt, God's coming back. God's coming back. And I'm looking forward to that time. You know, we kind of kidded a little bit with Linda here just a little while ago. But she's looking forward to going home. And I get texts and emails from her quite a bit. And she tells me of her excitement for going home because she knows what her destination is. And to me, that just thrills me. But anyway, as we get going on here, in verse number 11. Let's begin reading again, and I'm going to read it down through verse number 12 because that's where we're going to deal with tonight. It says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly." First thing that I believe that we should try to do when it comes to trying to improve our walk with God in this up and coming year is this: deny ungodliness. Deny ungodliness. I believe that's a goal that you and I should strive to have in our life. Ungodliness is what leads us away from serving God the way that we should be serving Him. And I can probably point out, let me back up here. We should be striving to live that life. And as we should deny the ungodliness, the second thing that we should try to do tonight is this, is deny the worldly lust. Deny the worldly lust. In other words, let's get our eyes off of this world and let's put our eyes upon God. Because that's where it begins to go in here in verse number 12 here. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. I'm going to deal with soberly just for a minute. I believe soberly is a word that is used, it is meant in this term. We need to be serious. We need to be serious about serving God in 2022. Meaning when we come to church, we should have a whole different attitude of coming in here and just expecting God to work in our lives throughout the message. Having a seriousness of serving Him. I believe that's something that we ought to strive for. I understand that we like to have a good time and we like to laugh in church and things of that nature. But I believe once the Word of God is open in this church, it is a time for us to be serious and paying attention to the Word of God. I believe God deserves those things. I believe we need to be serious in how we ought to lead our families. God has given us a tremendous responsibility when it comes to being leaders of the family. We wonder why the world's in chaos, and it's for this reason. Men have stopped leading the home. That's a fact. Men have stopped leading the home. And we sit there and say, well, it's the kids' fault. Well, it wasn't the kids' fault why Daddy left. Daddy made a choice. Man, we have a tremendous responsibility to lead our families. We have a tremendous responsibility to say, hey, kids, I'm serious about serving God. I think that's what we're needing to be striving for when it talks about the word soberly, being serious about some things. And I think when we begin to do those things, we'll begin to see some things fall into place. We need to be serious. We need to be serious about serving God. We need to be serious about distributing His Word. Amen? You know, when I said distributing His Word, people were like, uh-oh, is he talking about visitation again? No. You know, you can visit anywhere, anytime. You don't have to come here to join us on a particular day to go out visitation. You can do that anytime. But we need to be serious about doing those things. The other area I think that would really help us out in this next coming year, I love the fact that we, our song leaders, they put in time to have the song speak to our hearts. Now, I believe when we come down and we begin to worship in our songs, we need to be serious about some things. And just giving God our attention during that time and allowing Him to minister to us through music so that as we're doing that, that's preparing our heart for the message that is about to come. There's some things that we need to be serious about. You don't see the things that I see up here, and that's so many people walking back and forth. Uh-oh, you might say, Chad, where are you going with this? I'm going to say something here real quick. It might not be too popular with a lot of people. That's okay. Popularity for me is, I strive for that when I was a young kid. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be the head of the class, and I wanted people to look at me as Mr. Cool, but that ship has sailed for me. And it has. But you know what we do? We'll pay $15-$20 for a ticket at a movie theater, and we will not leave our seat for 3 hours. But we're here for 45 minutes, and we're back and forth, back and forth. You know, this is a place for us to be serious. Letting God know that we mean business with Him, and we want to bring honor, and we want to bring glory, not only just through the preaching part of the service, but raising and lifting our voices to Him. Being serious during those times. I believe that would help us out tremendously. Live soberly. The second thing that I want to look at here this evening is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Then it goes on and says, righteously. You know, that's a word that is something for us to really consider. Well, what's righteous mean? Doing something right when somebody's doing something wrong. That's what that is. Every single one of us, we're faced with choices throughout the day. And we can either decide, are we going to choose to do what somebody else is doing that's not godly, that's not righteous, or are we going to choose to do what is right? I believe that would help us out tremendously as we go through this next year, choosing to do righteous. Meaning, living by God's word. Letting His word direct our life. Letting His word give us direction. Letting His word live through us. So as we go about our day and we begin to see the unrighteous and we begin to see how they live and not letting our lust give in and not allowing that to take place, but hey, you know what? Hey, I'm going to rebuke this unrighteousness and I'm going to choose to live a righteous life. That's being set apart from that type of a lifestyle. You know, the unrighteous, they don't really care about God. They don't have a desire to serve Him. But the righteous, they should. And so there should be a setting apart. So we should live soberly, be serious about serving God. And then as we are getting serious about serving God, we should desire to live righteously for Him. You know, when you're living righteously for Him, you're not always going to be the favorite among people. And that's okay. Because as long as you're living for God, that's all that matters. And that's what we should strive to do, living for Him. And then it goes on, it says, let me back up and read this verse again, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Secondly, we should live righteously. And then we are to live godly. We are to live godly. We're to live a life that is, put it to you in this term, live a life that is glorifying to God. Live a life that's, when people see you, they see Jesus Christ. That's living a godly life. You know, isn't that what we want people to see in us? Is Jesus Christ? Well, how can they see Jesus Christ if they don't see us living a godly life? And that's something that we should be striving for in this next coming year, is to be living a godly life. The last thing that I want to do when I leave this world is not be an influence to people that are around me. Last week or a week and a half ago, Chris and I, we lost a dear friend just out of nowhere. And it was a week and a half ago. I actually had the day off, and I went and got a haircut, and I stopped by her office real quick just to say hi to her and see if she needed anything. So I went to my haircut appointment, and I got everything taken care of. And I decided, you know what? I like my haircut. I'm going to go show it off to my wife. She thinks. So I showed up at her work again for the second time that day. And then I began to talk to a gentleman that I played ball with for, 12, 13, 14 years of my life. We swapped sweat together. That's what you do in basketball. We banged bodies together. We yell at each other and things like that, but we always left it on the court. I had the opportunity to witness to him, but I never really had the opportunity to witness to him the way Chris did. And I knew Chris had a tremendous influence on him at work. There's another guy that I played with who had a great relationship with him, with each other, and they known each other for a long time, and he began to witness to him as well. And so I got back there, and I began to talk to him, and began to say, "Hey, Dan, it's good seeing you. Man, I want to get back together. I want to start playing basketball again. I miss the guys. I miss the camaraderie that we have." Little did I know, not more than probably 13 hours later, he would be gone. He'd be out into eternity. You know, I have been so down these last 2 weeks. I really have. It's really affected me. And I know that we've gone through some loss in our church. I'm sad that we don't have Nadine anymore, but I'm excited that she's with Jesus right now. That's exciting to me. But I've been so down because I know that I never heard from our friend that he accepted Jesus Christ as a Savior. And so what I normally do, I go back and I begin to think about why wasn't there a change in his life? Why wasn't there any indication that he wanted to speak to me about salvation? So I begin to ask myself this question: was I being soberly? Was I being serious about the Lord? I remember when I got my diploma, when I got ordained, he was there. He knew all those things. He knew those from work. And when I went to the basketball our basketball games, he would make an announcement to all of our gang that was there. And he'd be congratulating me, patting me on the back, and so would everybody else. Was I showing him how serious I was for Jesus Christ? Go a little bit further. When you're on the basketball court and you begin to have heated moments, you begin to go at it with each other. I've seen it happen on many different occasions. I've lost my anger, not towards them so much on the court, but was there a time that I didn't distribute a righteous lifestyle?
it's been really bugging me. And then I begin to look in Scripture and I ask myself a question. Was there something in my life that he wasn't seeing that was godly? That was contradicting to what I talked about? See, folks, it's bothering me. And I know it bothers you when you lose your friends and you don't know where they might spend eternity. But when we face these things, we got to ask ourselves the question, are they seeing Christ in us? Are they seeing that we're sincere about Jesus Christ? Are they seeing that we really want to serve him and we really want to dedicate our life to him? Are they seeing that we want to live a righteous life and no longer live an unrighteous life? Are they seeing those things? Are they seeing that we're trying to live like God? We're trying to allow him to live through us. That's something I've been asking myself over and over and over again. You can ask Chris. I haven't necessarily talked about this, but I've been talking about the loss that we've gone through, how it's really affecting me. And I get down, but man, this is really bugging me. So I made a commitment to not only to myself, but I made a commitment to God for this coming year. I'm going to choose to live soberly more. I'm going to choose to live a more righteous life. I'm going to choose to be more godly to people so that they can see Christ in us. When I go to be with God in glory, I want people to come with me. I want them to come with me. Where it says the other day, lay up your treasures, not on earth, but where? In heaven? And I'm paraphrasing there. I'm not using the exact KJV version on that one. It's just the only thing that we can take with us. And so as I begin to think about all the people that I've come in contact with, who's going with me? Or why aren't they going with me? Maybe it's because I lacked some of these things in my life. We have a choice tonight to say, you know what, 2021 is coming to a close and I'm just going to continue to live my life the way that I did last year. Or we can say, you know what, 2022, it's a restart button for us. We can make this New Year's resolution together and we can say, you know what, Chad, you're right, I agree with what Scripture's saying here and I'm going to strive to do this in 2022. If we were to do those things, we would have a better outlook on the coming year to come. Amen? So let's read this verse and then we'll close again. I said again, like we already closed tonight. Your people are like, when did he dismiss? I would have been out here 20 minutes ago. Anyway, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Folks, that's what we need to do in this coming year. And if this is what you've done in 2021, improve it in the next year to come. And let us be a help to each other. Let us be a help to each other. Let us help each other to get to that point. To where, as we're accomplishing this goal together, we're doing it for this reason. Not to bring glory to each other, but to bring glory to our Holy Father. Amen. Let's have our heads bowed. I don't know where I'm going tonight. I had something else in my mind. Doug, did you have a letter for tonight? Okay, you're good. I'm going to pray real quick, and then we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this day that you've given us. Lord, I thank you for this church that you've allowed us to be a part of. We thank you for the many things that we've seen here in 2021. We have seen souls saved. We have seen baptism. We have seen people join our church. We have seen those great things, Lord, but we've also seen some things where we've seen some people go. Lord, whether it be through death or just walking out these doors, being disgruntled or not happy and not coming back. But God, I pray as we've experienced some great things, I pray that you would help us in this next coming year to experience even greater things. I truly believe the things that I've seen recently, I truly believe, Open Door Baptist Church is on the verge of seeing something great happen in this church. Lord, I don't know how, I don't know when, but God, I know it's going to happen because I serve you. I pray, Lord, you would just help us to continue to live soberly, righteously, and godly. We thank you for all that you've done. We ask you these things in your name. Amen.